This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
So this past week was my birthday, and I didn't want to plan anything for my birthday because if you guys, you know, caught up with the last few episodes, it's hard to combine so many different friend groups together, and it's also hard when you're growing up and you don't really have, like, new friends, you know? So because of all that stress, I didn't want to plan anything. So Mashnoon, the greatest co-host partner that there is, he planned everything for me, and he actually flew out to New York to surprise me, and we went to a nice little Kite Runner Broadway show, 100% recommend, by the way, and he planned a nice little Soho rooftop with my friends and family, and it was a blast. And on that trip, he was also addicted to essential water for some reason. And but anyway, that birthday trip, it was nice. You know, I turned 24, and I also just realized every single year that the people that are meant to be in your life will be there, and the true ones...
What's the biggest lesson you learned when you were 24?
As I was saying, the true ones are your forever friends, and they're the ones that wish you happy birthday. They're the ones that care about you. So if you have this, like, high standard for your friends, but really they're not really like that, and you kind of romanticize the idea of them, hoping that they'll be as good as you think, that's probably not true. Honestly, just, like, see them for who they are. If they're giving you red flags left and right, believe it. But anyway, I had a good birthday despite that. I think every single year is stressful, but this one was good.
We're gonna put a poll in this podcast, you know, just look in the top left,
right,
of your room. You'll see the poll, and the poll is gonna be, does it matter, like, does it make you a bad friend if you don't say happy birthday on your friend's birthday? Because in my opinion, it does not matter. Me and my best friend, I'll tell him happy birthday a month later. Yo, my fault, bro. Like, I forgot. I didn't forget, but it's like, you know, texting. My time is crucial. My time is
I think it matters.
Expensive.
Because
I don't think it matters at all.
In this day and age, everything's on social media. There's no way you didn't see that it was your friend's birthday.
But
it's, like, just that you don't care enough to text them that 1 minute message.
Birthdays don't matter. Birthdays don't matter. I said it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. I grew up with every day on my birthday, my mom would come to my room. You know, they should be celebrating me for giving birth to you. That's what I got every birthday. That's what I started the day with. So honestly, I don't care about birthdays. I only care about her birthday because I know that she loves her birthday. That's why I tried to do so much for her. We went and saw the Kite Runner Broadway. Sponsor us because we loved the play. It was a
sponsor
it was an amazing
us because
play.
Broadway took down my Instagram post.
Yeah,
so I have some beef.
I don't know what you were doing with that. Honestly, I kind of knew they were about to. I was like, there's no way this girl is posting a clip of the play.
Why'd you let me do it?
Anyways, welcome back to our podcast. Our podcast named Difficultish. I'm the first co-host, Mashnoon Munir, at Mashnoon Munir.
A podcast about different South Asian narratives. He keeps doing this. I'm never letting him do an intro again. My name is Mahua, the best co-host that there is. What are we talking about today, co-host number one?
We're gonna be talking about literally when we start the podcast, and we're like, "Oh, what kind of topics you dating, dating, dating?" Like, okay. Listen. Other than dating, what else would you guys like us to talk about? You know, we can talk about, you know, therapy. You know, we can talk about, you know, toxic
dating.
Talk about dating right now.
We are only known for y'all are using us. We're only known for the moving out episodes, and we're only known for our dating episodes, because tell me why the story of how we met, episode number 49, did, like, the best that it did. And tell us why that the moving out episodes, That's what we're known for. So, like, what's going on with y'all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are we talking about?
So we're talking about, you know, how we brought up this dating subject to our family members, how we can try our best to help you bring it up to your family members, because at the end of the day, we're trying our best to help you. But, you know, this is just from personal experience. We are not therapists. We're not experts on this. We're trying our best. So if it doesn't work out for you, or if it doesn't apply to your family, obviously don't take the advice, but we're trying our best. We also have a lot of questions and situations from you guys that we're obviously going to implement later on in the episode. And yeah, just our account of dating and how we're going to proceed with this.
You think dating is important?
I think dating is crucial. You know what?
Oh, wow.
I was thinking about it, and a lot of our parents didn't have the privilege of dating. And when people think of dating, it's kind of like, you know, being a hoe, sleeping around. Wow. You know,
I don't think that's what
it is. Yeah, I know that's not what you think, but I'm saying that people think that, especially our parents, they think dating is like the worst thing that you can do, because it means that you're like used goods, especially if you're a girl. But I think dating could have helped so many of our parents not have that trauma, because they would have helped them not be in their abusive relationships, first of all, toxic relationships. Second of all, it could have just helped them, like, discover what they like in a partner. You know, can you imagine, like, if our parents had the privilege of, like, marrying the person that they actually wanted to marry in the, whatever, mid-90s or late-90s, whatever, or, like, if they were able to kind of like do what they wanted to do in their life and discover the traits they like, instead of just getting married like in their late teens or early 20s. It's freaking crazy. Yeah, dating is very important because it just shows you what you like and what you don't like. And it's kind of like a trial and error, you know?
I think, I don't think dating is that important. I think it you know, in general, it depends on the person. There's different types of people all across the world. But for me, I don't think it's essential. I don't think it's crucial. I think depending on the person, depending on the time frame, like when you are dating, it could hinder you a lot. It could honestly mess you up a lot. It can slow you down a lot. It can divert your attention to things that that don't matter. Depending on who you're with, when you're with them, what you're doing while you're with them. So just a little disclaimer, you know, we're going to talk about dating this episode, but this is not going to be an episode where we fantasize about dating, where we talk about how beautiful and lovely it is. We'll talk about the reality of like what it's like, us as, you're 24 now, I'm 23, about to turn 24.
Damn.
And like how we went about telling our parents, how our parents feel about it, why they're justified in feeling how they feel, maybe why they're not justified. And yeah, we're just going to try to keep it, you know, real deal and authentic this episode.
So you think that dating isn't important?
No, I don't think so. I think for me, I wasted a lot on dating early, unfortunately. And I didn't get anything out of it.
That's not true.
I think what I got out of it was the bare minimum. I realized that the only things I got out of dating early was, I don't want to be with someone who's crazy in the head, a freaking lunatic.
That's, oh, not, wow.
But it's like, I don't need a date to
you do realize you need, I don't want to be with experience.
No, I don't think you need to date to realize you don't want to be with someone crazy.
I feel like once you have the experience of dating someone that's toxic and something that you don't want, that's when you realize, oh shit, I have to raise my standards and this is what I actually want.
I guess, but I just wasted so many resources, so much time, energy, money, like presence with my family for things that like just didn't work out. And it was my fault, you know, because I think when I was young, I was fantasized by the idea of dating. When you're young and you're dumb and, you know, like, it's all your friends are talking about, like, oh, this girl, this guy, blah, blah. All your friends have girlfriends, all your friends have boyfriends. Like, you get peer pressured very easily. And I think I fell to the peer pressure a lot with, like, you know, I saw all these like things on social media of like, you know, all these like cute date places, all these cute like romantic ideas. And I think, you know, this is from like a guy's perspective. I think that stuff gets in our heads a lot, especially when we're young. You know, we want a girlfriend. We want somebody to care about us, somebody to support us through like whatever we're going through. And at the end of the day, like what I'm saying does not relate to everybody, because I know people who like start dating when they're 14 and now they're engaged. You know, like one couple of mine comes to mind when they've been together for so long. Whether they're happy or not, obviously I don't know. But it's like, you know, there are people all across the spectrum. But for me, sure, I got some shit that I learned about myself out of it. But I honestly regret wasting so much time with people that it, like, there was just no point of, you know, like the people in, like, we're still cool, it's whatever, but it's like I really slowed myself down so much. Like, my, at least for guys, like when you're in a relationship, you want to spend all of your resources on your girlfriend. You do not care about yourself, and that's not the right thing to do when you're between like 17 to 20. What you need to do is focus on yourself. I mean, you need to focus on yourself for like a majority of your upbringing, but like these like years in particular, where it's like vast expansiveness of your mind, where you're like, you're really learning about yourself and like what you want, what you're passionate about, what you're interested in, what you want to do after, you know, towards the end of your schooling, like what your future looks like. You like, don't spend that time like just giving away all of your resources to something that like you're not sure if it's gonna work. If you're with a girl that you think it'll work long term, like obviously I can't stop you, but if you're like, yeah, I know I'm wasting my time, why are you wasting your time? Well, because you want like something in the moment, you want like blah blah whatever, it's not worth it. Like, I look back and like I realize none of it was worth it. Like, there were so many times where I was hurt, so many things that I wasted that I'm just like, I wish I had that right now. I wish I didn't go through that. I didn't get anything out of that, you know?
But
that's me.
I think you going through that makes you realize that it wasn't worth it, but you have to go through it to understand that, to realize that you don't have to be spending that much money when you're younger.
I guess, but it's like such a high cost, you know, like, yeah, like I learned the bare minimum of not to date a crazy girl, but whatever. I mean, that's me. Like, you guys are still going to date. Y'all are still going to do your thing. But in my opinion, dating is not crucial and it's not essential. You feel me?
I think that a lot of people don't understand. Like, me and you were both independent before we met each other. We understand the importance of being independent because me and you were always in relationships. So I think that we wouldn't understand the crucial nature of being independent and discovering ourselves unless we had all of those relationships that we were in since high school.
But I think everybody has to be a little bit independent. You know, there's people who are more and less, but everybody needs to be independent for a fragment of their life just to be happy with themselves. You hear all the time, you can't make someone else happy if you're not happy yourself. And right. You can't be happy yourself until you fully figure out how to do that. And that comes with having to spend time by yourself, having to really work on yourself, having to understand that people are not going to be in your life forever. There are going to be people that walk away, especially when you're 17, 18, 19 years old. You're going to start seeing people from high school walk away. When you start like graduating high or college, you're going to see people that you never, like, you're like, oh, like, I don't talk to that person no more. And it hurts, you know, because those are the people that were the closest to you one day. So it's these points in your life where you realize, like, you know, you have to learn to be okay with yourself. You have to learn how to be happy with yourself if you want a happy relationship. And I get it, everybody has their own opinion, but for me, you know, I'm happy where I am today and I'm happy with you, but I just think about how much of myself I gave away for, like, for what, you know?
I think about how I had a high school boyfriend, you know, when I was like 15. I thought I was so cool. I was like, oh my God, no one else really has a boyfriend at this age. And again, it was stupid, you know, it was like young, like puppy love. And I don't think it's essential, especially a lot of people that like beat themselves up over the fact that they don't have a partner at that young of an age. Obviously, it's like very rare and it's also not something that you need. But I also think that that relationship like taught me what I didn't want. Like, obviously, I don't want a partner that like cheats on me and I'm okay with it, you know? And it's like, I also think that that was the first ever relationship that my parents found out about. And they realized that like, since I was so young, they used to give me so much shit. Like, I was not allowed to have a boyfriend. Obviously, I was 15 years old. Why the hell do I need a boyfriend? And also, like, he wasn't Bangali. So it just like shows, like, I think that relationship alone left such a bad taste in my parents' mouth because they always assume that I'm gonna be stupid like that again. And they always see me as like that young, stupid girl, like falling for whoever, you know. And it's so hard to like undo that mistake when you're older because they always just see you as like your past mistake. I don't know what it is about parents, like brown parents especially, where they just like reverting back to the past and just bringing up the past instead of like the current self. But yeah, so I think it's really important to just like bring up the best person that you think that you're going to marry to your parents, because they're always going to just bring up the bad qualities if you don't find the right person, you know.
Dating in high school is stupid.
Yeah.
Like it's stupid. Y'all, like, if you're in high school, you're listening, y'all still going to do it. But realize that like it's stupid.
Yeah.
like if you see it working out, keep doing what you're doing. But at the end of the day, if you know that it's not going to work out, you're being stupid. Just please don't waste your time, because you need to give yourself that time. You need to give yourself that time at that time, not to somebody else.
I think in high school relationships, you fall in love with the idea of love, like not the person. Like, I think you realize later on that it's not really the person that you love, but it's like the idea of love and like what you see in movies and whatnot. But after high school, it's like the real life shit, you know. But yeah, that was a big one for me, for my parents. I didn't intentionally tell them. I didn't even mean for them to find out. But they found out, and
they did.
And I was a rebellious kid, so yeah, that left a bad taste.
What are some values that are important for your significant other to have, and why?
You know, things that I didn't really understand when I was younger was like, I just thought that if the other person cared about me the same way that I cared about them, that would be enough for me. But I think as I got older, I started realizing that I want someone that's more like-minded like me, has like the same values as me. And I think that also correlates with me having the same background. And since I am such a patriotic person and I am so like Bangladeshi, I've always wanted, well, in my adult years, I've always wanted someone.
This isn't just a game, it's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
And that was also Bangladeshi, someone that knew how to speak Bangla to, like, you know, bring it on to my kids later on. And I always wanted someone that was like artistic. And those values were something that my parents always implemented on me. Like, you know, they would always say, you know, you have to have a nice boy from like a respected family, and like he has to be Bangladeshi and good job, like blah, blah, blah. Like, obviously, like back then, I'd be like, oh my gosh, shut up. Like, I'm not going to have that. You know, like, I don't care about all that stuff. That doesn't matter to me. And then later on, a lot of my values started meshing with what my parents said. And it obviously, it was kind of authentic. Like, it's not like I was purposely trying to make my values like my parents, but I started realizing the importance of like passing on the same culture to my kids, and like just how important it was for me too. And that's not to say that, like, if you are marrying or if you are with a partner that doesn't have the same background as you, that doesn't mean that your kids can't have that same background either. Like, you can still have that. But I think it was just really important for me to, like, have someone that was family oriented and someone with the same background, because I really care about, you know, the cultural aspect as well. And I really care about someone that supports me with my artistic endeavors and dreams and everything.
That's crazy. I hope you find him.
Yeah, same. You know, someone asked us if we're dating to marry.
What does that even mean?
Like, are you dating, like, the other person to marry them, or are you just dating them to, like, experiment?
How do you feel about that?
I asked, like, you. General? I asked you.
Oh, I didn't know you asked me a question.
No way, he's asking a question with a question. No,
what's the question?
Are you dating to marry me, or are you dating to experiment?
I mean, that's like why we started talking to each other in general. You know, we didn't care about dating to experience, you know, and, like, to an extent, I don't really, you know, get it too much. Like, I understand you're always going to be talking to people, but, like, dating, being in a, like, a serious relationship that you know is not going anywhere, I don't get it. And I mean, I understand that sometimes it may be difficult to get out of. People got that situation. But, like, a lot of people are, like, go into relationships, get their heart broken, cry for a year straight, get into another relationship, get their heart broken, cry for a year straight. It's, like, that stuff is damaging, bro. Like, that stuff, like, really affects you. And I feel like that's what makes crazy people, you know? I think we can both attest to each other that, like, we are not crazy, you know? And, like, there's nothing that either of us do that is crazy. And I've been, like, that crazy boyfriend before. And I'm sure you've been like that before. But it was, like, but at the core, like, at the root, like, we're not like that. Now that we're grown-ups, now that we're adults, like, you don't get mad at me over stupid shit. I don't get mad at you over stupid shit. It's, like, we're very grown-up and respectful. And I feel like that over-excessive dating for experience, dating for the moment, that's what makes you, like, a weirdo, bro. Like, that's what makes you get, like, mad over dumb shit. Like, I don't know. It's just, like, this whole, like, realm, era of, like, social media that's, like, just glorifies, like, a certain type of relationship. I don't ever get it. I don't, like...
I think that experience is necessary. Like, again, it's trial and error. But I don't think that you should be pursuing a long-term relationship with someone that you don't see a future in. Because at the end of the day, you're wasting both of your times. And it's just, you're setting it up for heartbreak, you know? So I think it's like having a phase where you're just, like, dating around and trying to find qualities in someone that you actually like is important. But not if it ends up in heartbreak for both of you. You know, I think that's very immature.
I think everything in life has to be done in moderation. And I think people can get really carried away when it comes to dating, because it's easy to just, you know, fall in the whirlpool and just, like, go with the motions and not feel like you have any control with the situation. But that's not good, bro. It's something that you can easily get carried away in, especially if you don't have prior experience, especially if you don't have somebody, like, older than you telling you what's going on. Like, it can be harmful, and you have to make sure that, you know, you're ready for what you're getting yourself into, and start things, like, slowly. That's why I've never understood, like, all of our parents are like, no dating until you're married, and then once you graduate high school, it's like, all right, time to get married. And then they're like, they're weird, they don't understand why you can't get married, and now they've got to marry you to someone across the world, and then they're like, why didn't it work?
Yeah,
and obviously, like, there are cultural norms, there are traditional norms, religious norms, but at the end of the day, like, that mindset and that way of doing things makes absolutely zero sense, and I don't like that some of our parents, not you and I, but, like, parents of people that look like us pursue that route, because it literally makes zero sense, and I really don't like it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a step-by-step guide of, like, what you're supposed to accomplish in life, and, like, if you don't marry by a certain time, or if you don't graduate school by a certain time, you're kind of seen as a failure. And it's, like, so, like, I don't know, backwards, because it's like, you know, your parents tell you to never date And then you graduate school and you're like, all right, they're like, it's time to get married. But it's like, bro, like, give me some time to like finally do this, because you forced me to hide it from you for so many years or not do it. And now you suddenly have this like switch up, you know, it doesn't make sense.
They want their kid to do like exactly what they say. But it's like at the end of the day, like, do they care? Like, do they really care about like the person that their kid is marrying? If they're so fascinated with the idea of marriage, there's no way that you really care about, like, really care about the person that they're dating, other than like what's on the exterior, like their money, their family, their whatever. Like, how many kids get married to somebody and like their parents have like met the person that their kid is marrying like two or three times or some shit, like never mm-hmm. had like an actual conversation. You know, I can never imagine us going to like the next step without me spending like a lot of time with your family, right? Not just like a few dinners, not just, you know, taking your brother out a day or two,
right?
Like, I need to spend like extensive time with right. them. And I feel like that doesn't happen.
You know what's crazy? Like, I was at my best friend's wedding this past weekend, and one of my friends, she is very good looking, and the other, like the groom's side, one of the moms wanted to introduce her to like one of the, you know, the groom's friends, just because she was so pretty. And it's just crazy how, like, you know, parents are willing to like marry off their sons because they see a pretty girl, and like literally willing to like marry them without knowing anything about them, but just because she's pretty. It's just like, that's all the family needs, because like the value for a woman is like based on her looks. And it's just like, do you want to know what I do? Do you want to know who my family is first before you try like marry me off because I'm my looks? It's just so backwards. But how did your family feel about the concept of dating?
My mom's never been, you know, intrigued with me dating.
Intrigued.
literally never. Because I'm Muslim, you know, my family is Muslim, my mom is very Muslim, and I don't know the ins and outs of what the religion says about the concept of dating. I'm sure it's exaggerated by our parents, as everything is, but at the end of the day, I know there are like certain things that you shouldn't bypass, and I always try my best to abide by her opinions, and I completely respect how she goes about religion, and I try my best to follow in her footsteps, because I know how important Islam is to her, and it's very important to me as well. And I do respect her values, and as every day goes on, I try my best to get closer and closer to where she is at. And like I said, I regret a lot from when I was younger. I was running around doing stupid stuff, and I just wish I kind of listened to her more. You know, she knew what she was talking about, and I was running around doing stupid stuff, but never been fond of it, never been intrigued. You're the first girl that I've like seriously told her about, the first girl that she's ever met, and I knew I had enough leverage to show her, because you check off all the boxes.
Oh wow, that's news to me.
You're a little bit of a Dumbo silly goose, but you know, we'll work on that.
Oh wow.
But it, you know what's crazy? It's like, you have a master's degree, but you're still so silly. How does, like, don't people get smart? Don't people get like wise and, you know, nice and, you know, polished, yeah, but you know, prim and proper?
You know, that master's degree really, really bumped me up on the value of,
yeah, the value chain.
The value chain, yep. My parents have always told me that I can start, not even dating, I can start thinking about boys after I finish all of my education. After you're married. Which is a blessing. After I'm married. Which is a blessing, because a lot of brown parents kind of say to the girl, like, you know, you have to get married, like, don't even care too much about education, blah, blah, blah. But on the other end, you know, my parents really emphasized school and my master's, and they never talked about marriage like that. They never brought it up. So I was lucky on that end, but you know, the difficult part of that spectrum was that I can never mention anything about guys to them, right? Mm. So, you know, I wanted a nice little balance. I didn't really have that. So I started, introducing the idea of Mushnoon about a year plus into our relationship, like about a year and a half, actually. And it was like a long, you know, subtle growth. It did not happen overnight. Mm-hmm. I think one of the first things ever was just like the idea that I have friends living in Florida. Not even a guy, just like friends. Because I remember once, like very early on in our relationship, like before we were even official, Mushnoon sent me this letter to my home address, and it was sent from Florida, and it had the name Mushnoon Munir on it. And my mom was like, "What the heck is this?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, like my friends in Florida, like they're having a wedding, they invited me, blah blah blah." So like from then on, they're like, "Okay, like, you know, she has friends in Florida." And then I would slowly introduce, like, you know, Mushnoon's sister and be like, "Oh yeah, like my friend's sister, like blah blah blah," right? And then I would slowly introduce the concept of Mushnoon as like a friend. And, you know, kind of gas him up, obviously. Just say, yeah, like, "Oh, yeah, like, my friend, like, bought this for his mom. Like, my friend does this for work." Like, you know, just, like, slowly introducing things that he does, but not really, like, mentioning him. And then that, like, that took, like, 6+ months. And then finally, I was like, "Oh, yeah, like, you know, my friend's coming to New York. You want to meet him?"
Wow.
And then my mom was like, "Who's this friend?" Right? And it's like, my mom has never wanted to hear anything about boys because my mom is very defensive. Like, she's very protective over like who I'm with because she doesn't want me to get into like a toxic, abusive relationship. And I think it's like, you know, the mom like protecting the daughters from like their experiences and whatnot. So she's very like cautious about that. So I knew that when I sprung it against her, she would try to resist because, you know, she would try to do anything she can do to pretend like her daughter doesn't have someone, pretend like her daughter is not going to get married sooner or later, you know, whatever. But I knew I had to spring it on her in a way where she could not say no. So I was like, "You know, you want to meet him?" When in reality, he was already coming. Yeah. She had no choice. She had to meet him. So I kind of had to like spring it on her. And then once my parents did meet Mushnoon, it was like amazing.
Like, yeah, they love me. Just
their long lost son. Like, relax. And like the fact that, you know, Mushnoon is like literally the best that there is. Wow. It really helped the case.
I've never heard that.
It helped the case. You know, he came to my parents' house. He stayed for like 3 days. It like, he took them on adventures. He doesn't even live here. And it's just like, he also checked off all the boxes. You know, he's Bangladeshi. He has a good job. He loves being a family man. Maybe the one box that he did not check off was that he's allergic to cats, and I have 2 cats. So my mom was like, "So how are you guys going to have a cat in the future?"
Remember how she didn't take me serious?
Yeah, my mom did not take it serious.
She thought I was kidding. She's like, yeah.
Yeah, I would think you were kidding too.
When I look like I'm about to explode, she's like,
"Yeah,
Baba, are you okay?"
I didn't realize how bad you were allergic until then.
Yeah. Too.
But yeah, so when I did introduce him, and I think this really relates heavily if you're a girl, because unfortunately, you can't really bring guys to your family unless it's the one, right? Like, for example, my brother is dating someone right now. It was very, I wouldn't say easy for him to bring it up, but a lot less heat he got. Mm. I remember in high school when me talking to a boy was introduced and like all of the things that I was doing was introduced, my phone was broken up.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, my brother,
you should have known.
Yeah, my brother got a casual, like, you know, a little scolding, but that was it really, you know? Okay. And it's just like, when you're a girl, you gotta really, you know, tread the waters softly, you know, because unfortunately your relation to a male is dependent on your family's reputation and who you are as a person. Like, you're basically used goods if you have more than like one person that you're related to. That's why, like, if in the olden days, and this still happens now, you can't really get divorced because you're technically considered like old goods. You know, people are not gonna like you anymore because you had a husband before. That's why in India before, if your husband died, you had to literally set yourself on fire and die. So it's like things like that, that unfortunately, like, their traditional values aren't as strict anymore, but like they still think like that in some aspect. So I knew that when I introduced Mashnoon, I could not have like any red flags with him. I could not have like any, you know, negative ideas of him in my head, or like any fights that would become longer, because I did not want to have a chance that it would not work out. Like, I had to be really sure. Otherwise, I would not have brought him up to my parents. Second of all, I had to introduce him as a friend first, because I had to kind of see how it would end up slowly, instead of just being like, oh yeah, this is my boyfriend, I'm going to marry him tomorrow. Like, I think a lot of people, again, this is like based on experience, a lot of people just harshly say to their parents, this is who I'm with, you have to accept it. And they kind of put their foot down, which is great. You know, it's important for you to be putting your foot down. But it's also important for you to like do it slowly, so that they are kind of adjusted to it, instead of just forcing them to accept it, you know?
You know, I don't remember when I told her like explicitly, like, oh, mom, like, I think it just kind of like casually, like naturally happened. And but I think before we even talk about, you know, any of this, I think the most important thing is you need to have like a trustworthy relationship with your family.
Right.
You have to show them that, you know, you are someone that they should take serious, and you're someone whose words should be taken serious. Because I think where I might have messed up, that I, like, thankfully it didn't mess me up too much, but I used to say so many like reckless things to my mom. Like, oh, mom, I'm going to move here. Or, mom, I'm going to be this when I grow up. When it's like, yeah, you know, there are different ways of going about things with your parents. But I think the most optimal way is by not doing the, mom, this is how it's going to go. When it's like, when you're a kid, they're not going to take you serious. Especially if you don't like have a resume of like good, mature things that you've done to like give you enough leverage for them to like believe you and take you serious as like an adult. So I think by the time I was 21, I was already, you know, on my path towards, you know, taking school more serious and graduating soon. I already had a good job. I was working from home, which not a lot of people my age without a degree were even had a job like that. And I was doing so many things on the side, and I was taking care of my mom. Like, so it's not like I was running around like a little kid telling my mom, I got a girlfriend and you gotta like her. Like, right. No, like I put in a lot of groundwork for my mom to take me serious. And I think that that's where a lot of kids like mess up on. It's like, you know, a lot of y'all will, not y'all, but a lot of y'all will just, you know, just be in school, you know, taking your little classes. Then after school, you're just twiddling your fingers, sitting on your bed, just playing with your toes, just watching the clock tick
that's
away.
That's what you do.
And it's like, you can't expect your parents to take you super serious when you're just like not really doing much with your life. And right. Like in your free time, you're just dating, you know, like you have to build a little bit more of a groundwork for your parents to take you serious. And I think that's where a lot of y'all mess up on. So that's my biggest piece of advice, is build yourself up into someone that is meant to be taken serious. So when you bring these types of things up, they know you're not playing.
Yeah. I think something else on top of the trust thing is just like, a place where I messed up in high school is that I broke my parents' trust by, you know, being so rebellious and hanging out with my boyfriend and like doing a lot of things that they didn't want me to do. And obviously, like, sometimes you have to do that, because if you tell them the truth, they're not going to let you go or do whatever you want to do. But at the end of the day, if you keep lying, they're not going to see you as responsible, and they're not going to see you as someone that can hold a relationship or can like do anything in life. So it's very important to build that trust. And it's also hard though, because I know like some parents don't accept the relationship because the other person isn't the same culture, same religion, they're racist, whatever it is, things like that, right? So it's really hard sometimes to be patient and like always responsible, because your parents will not budge. But at the end of the day, the way to get their approval is to be patient. And obviously, like, if they are not budging, if they are not giving you the approval, they're just like basically excommunicating you from the family, then obviously do what you have to do in the extreme route. But it's very important to be patient.
Something that I really regret is just how much I would lie to my mom when I was younger. I don't know why I did it so much. I don't know if like what I was scared of, what I was confused about. I lied to my mom a lot, just about a lot of stuff that was pointless for me to even lie about when I could have just did the right thing, you know, whether it was out of laziness or I don't know, whatever. Like, don't lie to your parents. Don't lie to your mom, because it just makes things so much worse. You have no idea. Like, things could have been so much smoother, but it was my fault for a lot of it. And I wish I didn't do like a lot of that to my mom. When it comes to dating, you know, if your parents aren't cool with you dating, you can either listen to them or you can either just keep it to yourself. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but just don't make things such a mess between you and your parents, because like that stuff builds up and it snowballs. And I don't want anybody to have toxic relationships with your parents, because it's just not worth it, bro. But I think now is a good time to transition to a little segment where we can talk a bit about how dating is perceived throughout our culture and just, you know, some knickknacks about, you know, what's going on with you know, just how our parents grew up in the realm of dating. You understand? To help build our case, we got some beautiful information, some beautiful insight from our friends over at Muzz. Muzz, thank you so much. Y'all keep giving us this heat. This fire. You feel me?
We gotta let
our listeners know, you feel me? Because we really got, you know, some good insights. So look, you know, we were talking about dating to marry, right? You asked me that.
Right.
Feel me? Somebody said that.
Right.
You know, on that topic, did you know that men and women on Muzz that had a shorter timeline, either being married within a year or married within 1 to 2 years, were 2 times faster at finding their person? Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
I think we're just we're conditioned to, you know, take this dating thing more serious when we are looking to get married. And I think that's how it should be. You know, dating for experience, whatever. Y'all will do it. Y'all will do your thing when you're younger. But at the end of the day, dating is meant to find the person that you're getting married. So I think that's great.
I think something else that's added on top of the fact that you have to marry someone that's someone from the same cultural background, it's just how common it is for a lot of people to also marry within the same sect. You know, deeper into just the religion and culture, they also need to have the same sect.
We didn't even touch on that yet.
I know, that's a whole different thing. So 76% of matches in the U.S. in the past month alone have matched just on sect.
Sect is important, huh?
Yeah. And then age range is the most common filter. However, women are 2 times more likely to use the sect filter than men.
They're trying to be a little bit more precise. You know, they're trying to find a good, solid man. You feel me? Like, they need to be accurate.
There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong
with
that.
They need accuracy.
Right.
You understand? It's quality over quantity when it comes to this type of stuff.
Right.
You feel me?
Right.
Muzz, thank you. You feel me? All right, cool. So we've yapped on. What are maybe some closing thoughts on the idea of dating? Of course, we'll return to this. But you know, someone who is a mere 21-year-old girl wants to get a quality relationship with the boy, or girl. We support everybody. Parents are not against it. You got any words for that? For that mere girl?
First of all, find yourself before you date someone and become responsible and become independent.
Yeah.
Second, don't get into a relationship of another culture, of another sect, whatever it is, if you're not going to fight for the person, if you don't see something long term, if you don't...
That's a stinger. That's what they call a stinger. That's a burner.
You feel yeah, me? That's a burner, because a lot of people don't want to hear
sinking.
It. Uh-huh. Third, I can't think of another one. Go ahead.
Of course not. I'll take it over from here. And third, you understand what I'm saying?
No one understands, because you didn't say nothing.
No. Listen, we hear our whole lives, life is short. But guess what? Life is long. Especially when you're 18 to 24. Trust me. Let's take a second. Let's think about where we were 5 years ago.
I don't want to.
But you understand how the number 5 is so small?
Right.
Let that sink in. But you see how much has changed and how much more developed you are, how much more you know about yourself now, how much you want to cringe over what 18-year-old you was doing. A lot happens in 5 years. I'm not telling y'all to wait 5 years, but I'm telling y'all, what you think you know about yourself today, you don't know shit, buddy, home girl, home slice. You think you know
what you. What was that piece of advice that woman came up to her table and told us about relationships?
I don't know what she was saying. She was just blabbering away. But she says something along the lines of like, you know, we asked her like, oh, what's the best age to get married? She said like 35. Because she was like, you know, you want to make sure you live your own life before you give your life to somebody else. You know, you want to make sure that you have some good footing. You have something to share. You have something to give. And you just want to make sure you are happy with yourself before you even think about any of this stuff. You know, because at the end of the day, even when you're in a relationship, you will still continue to learn about yourself. You know, you'll still be independent. It's not like you're giving... I don't want to make it sound like you're giving your life away.
Right.
But, you know, the reason we have a healthy relationship is because we've given ourselves enough time before this relationship. We've learned a lot about ourselves. We've been through ups and downs. We both have things to share. And we're not just sitting here fighting every day. Like, you know, like this is not that. And it's because we both had footing in ourselves, in what our values are, before we got into this. And I think that that's the way that it definitely needs to go.
She also said that you have to have friendship within your relationship.
Oh, yeah, that was one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel me?
You ready to move on to the advice session with the questions?
Yeah, go ahead and pull it up.
No, you pull it up, buddy. I always pull it up. We have officially surpassed Mashoon's followers on Instagram, and Difficult Dish actually has more followers than him. So if you want to actually continue that streak, keep following us on Difficult Dish at Difficult Dish on Instagram. And also, we've been popping off on TikTok. So we're at Difficult Dish Podcast on TikTok if you want to see both of us on there.
Yeah, with that being said, this will be the last episode of Difficult Dish. I'm deleting everything. I don't know how y'all let that happen. If you're listening right now, what's going on? Just follow me real quick, okay? Well, like, so the first response we got is a goodie. It goes, I am dating a Hispanic guy. We've been in a relationship for 2+ years. My parents found out and they were mad for one day, and now they don't even bring it up. You feel me? And this goes to show, they don't even know what they get mad about nowadays. they just get mad. Listen, I feel like just that the fear of the unknown and the fear of like the discomfort, you know, it paralyzes them for a little bit. But once they get over it, they realize they have no reason to literally be upset about anything. You know, so, and if this is not going to be the situation for everybody, but I think this is the situation for a lot of people, for a lot of things. I think there were a lot, you know, when with me and my tattoos, I remember I was terrified to tell my mother about my tattoos, but I went about telling her about them in the correct manner, and she literally wasn't even upset.
You know, for the most part. What else I think this is? I think what they meant is that they kind of ignore it and give you the silent treatment regarding your partner. Because that's their way of not accepting what happened, and that's their way of kind of erasing it. And they're also hoping that them not talking about it will finally like change your mind, because they're like kind of mad at you without saying anything. So they're just hoping that you won't like have that type of relationship anymore. And I think a lot of parents don't approve of that type of relationship from like a different culture or different religion, because first of all, reputation, obviously. But second of all, I think a lot of them are like obsessed with the fact that they want like light babies, or like they want like a certain type of like grandchildren, you know?
Like, chill out, mom. Y'all get what y'all get.
Deadass. You should just be happy that your kids are happy. You know, I'm actually glad my mom is at this phase now where she just says that, like, you know, we just like want our kids to be happy, and like, you know, it's fine that you have a boyfriend, like, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, damn. Where was that attitude in high school? Someone said, I've been in a trans, lesbian, interracial relationship for 7 years, and I told my sisters last week.
That's amazing. I feel like we don't get enough representation in that realm, and I'm really happy that you were able to do that.
Someone said, my parents are really a big no-no when it comes to dating, and if I like someone, then my mom insists that I get married to the person right away rather than date. My mom only knew about my first boyfriend and then told me to date in college if it's serious. I'm in a long-distance relationship with my boyfriend, and it's been a year and a half. My mom has her doubts, but I'm not ready to tell her because I know she'll rush both of us for marriage when we're both still 20. I'd rather keep my relationship away from my parents and tell them when we're ready.
Yeah, do that. Because yeah. Your mother trying to get you married. Why? Why? Why, mom? Auntie? Why? Why? Tell me.
Yeah, it's like the next step in the, you know, never-ending cycle, you know?
Because you know what happens when 20-year-olds get married? They realize that they don't have money. Yeah. And they realize that they don't know anything. Mm-hmm. And then everything falls apart. And then you get mad at your kid for making their marriage fall apart. And now you guys don't talk to each other. That's a good path to follow? I didn't think so.
Mm-hmm.
So, auntie, chill out. You feel me? It's not that serious. I don't know. I feel like dating isn't necessary for me. But to each their own, you know? We wouldn't have the pod if y'all weren't together, so... You feel like we'd be doing this pod if we weren't together?
No.
Really? If we were just friends and I was like, hey, Mahua, hey, Labyrinthev, you want to start a podcast with me? You would have said no. Yeah. Or just left me on read.
Right. Again. Someone said there wasn't any convos being had other than don't do it, which was the my parents solution to a lot of things. Also, not seeing stable and healthier marriages within the South Asian community really led me to people taking advantage and manipulate girls who were young and didn't know any better. Learning from my older sister was the best advice I've gotten until I reached college. I didn't and couldn't decide who I wanted to date. When I finally started choosing for myself, it was a freaking mess. Overall, relationships are a trial and error, overall, relationships are a trial and error, rinse and repeat. I had to open my mind up and have a strong support system to move on to my next relationship. I've only disclosed one relationship to my parents, but now I'm dating someone new that they have no idea about yet. It's still hard to be taken seriously, if you know what I mean. Yeah, I think a lot of people go through relationships and they cannot tell their parents about it. They literally go through, like, the worst heartbreak of their lives, and they just have to be silent about it in their house because they know that they can't react in front of their parents.
We didn't even get into that.
A whole identity that you have to hide.
Crazy, huh? We'll get into that maybe in a third dating episode that may be coming. You know, we still got a lot to talk about. But for this girl, you know, homegirl was spitting. You know,
yeah. She said was rinse and repeat. Trial and error.
Damn.
Yep. The
poet.
Mm.
And there you have it. The long-awaited episode on dating by your favorite, but also the best podcast ever.
Right.
You feel me? And with this podcast, we always end the episodes with something. It's called the 10-second advice session. And I was just wondering, my co-host, Mo, if you have any advice.
You know something that I really did when I was younger?
Mm.
I would buy things for my partner without even having the money myself. Like, I would literally spend all of my money on them. And that's, like, all cute. You know, that's what we think love is, by just, like, buying them things because it reminds you of them. But if you're young and you don't have money and you're buying your partner, like, all these expensive things.
Chill out.
Don't do it.
Chill out. It's, listen, you know what? And I'ma use my 10-second advice to add on to what you're saying.
Oh, wow.
You know? Because I did a lot of this growing up. A lot of it. And nothing came out of it. Sure, you get your little 5 seconds of fame. Feels good for a little bit. They forget about it.
You know what I got out of it?
What?
Cheated on.
You know what I got out of it?
What?
Overdraft fees.
You also got cheated on. You got overdraft fees and cheated on.
Now you tell me if it's worth it. What, you want to buy your
comment
you wanna
down
buy
below.
Your girlfriend? You want to buy your girlfriend that little triple chocolate fudge cake that costs $8.99? You only got $6.42 in your bank account. You think it's worth it? I promise it's not. All right, that's all we got. Thank you guys for listening to the very last episode of this podcast. Since
I'm deleting Shut up. Obviously, this topic will be delved on a lot more because we have a lot more to say.
We do. Maybe yeah. in another dating episode that might be coming out soon.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Anyways, thank you, Muzz, always for giving us, you know, some of y'all beautiful data. It always helps build our cases, always gives us just some more to talk about, you know, because at the end of the day, this all we do on this podcast is talk shit. We don't know what we're talking about, okay? So sometimes we need some reputable people and reputable sources to give us some actual information. So it sounds like we know what we're talking about, okay? Right. We don't know anything. We don't know anything, you know, so thank you, Muzz.
If you want another in-depth episode about dating, comment on our recent post and say, yo, what happened to your love life? And we'll
That's
know.
That's a long-ass message.
And we'll know that we sent you and you actually listened to the end of the episode, because That's only two people message. Commented that on our last post because they listened all the way to the end. And if you know, Damn. You know. So anyway, Damn. Give us a little rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, because y'all, we've been really soaring up there. And give us a little review if you want to make us happy, because it is our birthday month. And follow us on Instagram at Difficult Dish, at Mushroom Munir. Please give him that follow. And at Lavendev.
All right. Bye.
All right, guys. Allah Hafiz.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.